All right. 1 Peter, the title today, Healthy Fear of the Lord. Okay. So the three lessons that we want to see, loving God for who He is, living in active obedience, and knowing our price. Okay. And just as we talked about last week, this week we also talk about another word that has become a little bit misunderstood, often overlooked, rarely ever focused on, which is the word fear. Fear. I think the Jews, the Orthodox Jews, I learned in modern religion class at George Mason, that there's apparently a lot of different branches of modern day Judaism, right? And so I'm talking, I guess, more specifically on the Orthodox Jews, right? These are the homies, got the little funny hat right here on the top of their heads, right? And they have, if you're friends with them, when they grow up, they have bar mitzvahs, or if your friend is a girl, she will have a bat mitzvah, okay? And so these guys, along with Muslims, okay, and they, these two particular groups have, they really understand this idea of fearing God. They do it in a very unhealthy way, but on the whole, compared to Christians, they have a better grasp and a better understanding of what that really means. We can chalk it up to cultural thing. But I think it's also a very religious thing, right? It's just what their religion teaches, okay? And the sad thing is, we as Christians, having the full picture of God, especially in terms of what we need to know God and love God and be loved by God, we've kind of gotten away from that idea. Especially in the modern American church, and we, part of a Korean American church in America, we are still very much influenced by the American thought and American culture, okay? Including this idea of fearing God. We're kind of, we don't really know it, we don't really like it, we don't want to talk about it, okay? But it is a very biblical idea, okay? It's all throughout the Bible, especially in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, like we read today, all right? And so this fearing God, okay, what does that mean, right? A little bit of a Bible vocab lesson, right? There are two types of fearing God, okay? There is a fear of God in terms of you are just sheer terror at God, because we like to think, especially in the American church culture, we like to think of God, like when we think about God, we see Jesus with the sheep. We can go after service, go in my office. I had the perfect picture of Jesus. He's very nice and soft and beautiful. Very well groomed. Like, he has perfect hair, right? Because he's the Son of God. Of course he's going to have perfect hair, right? And he would never say anything mean or scary or terrifying or anything like that, right? And so we grow with that mental picture. But the problem is, when you read the Bible, we understand, like, that's not what the Bible says Jesus is, okay? And so, fearing God, okay, the first part is just the sheer terror in terms of God coming because of we know our sinfulness. And we know that in the presence of God, we die. We get obliterated. The best kind of example of what would happen if God were to be here right now without Jesus, and the terror that is associated with that is kind of like throwing Che into the sun right now without any kind of suit, no preparation, just throw Che into the sun, right? What would happen is he would just evaporate. Like nothing. Like Che would go from solid to gas in 1 second, okay? It's a little bit like, if you are a student of history as I am, it's a little bit like what happened to the Japanese inhabitants of Nagasaki and Hiroshima at the end of World War II. If you read details of it, and when I got to college, I wrote a couple papers on it, and the survivors report literally report, what they did was they dropped the bomb. They tried to drop it about the midway, the middle of the city, where it's obviously, so if you're in the middle of the city and when the thing drops, it's, you know, it's the most intense. And what happens, and what they report is that if you go to the middle of the city, people disappeared. Like, they didn't find bodies. But what they found instead was on the wall, they found the outline of a person that used to be there. Okay? So, again, so what happened was the plane came, dropped the bomb, right? And then they timed it so it didn't explode on the ground. It exploded in air. Okay, but halfway from the plane to the ground, it exploded in air. And so the people that were in the middle, they literally evaporated. Like, they found no bodies. All they found was the shadows on the wall. Okay? It's a little bit like what would happen if God were to show up right now. We would all just evaporate. Okay? No wonder then if you go to Isaiah chapter 6, okay? Isaiah, remember, Isaiah, who is Isaiah? Isaiah is a prophet. He's a very holy dude, right? A lot, his holiness would kind of kick all our holiness combined together, right? He's a pretty holy guy, right? He hangs out with God. God talks to him. He talks to God. He hangs out with kings. Okay? He's a pretty important dude. He sees a vision of God where he is taken in his spirit to the presence of God, and he freaks out. He doesn't freak out because he's like, God says anything or God does anything. God's just chilling on his throne. Right? He's the king. He's just chilling on his throne. And Isaiah sees that without God even doing anything or saying anything, Isaiah gets freaked out. Why? Because he's terrified. And what comes out of his mouth? He says, oh my goodness, I'm done. Why? Because I'm a messed up guy and I come from a bunch of messed up people. Right? And so the fear of God, the first part is that acknowledgement of our sheer sinfulness in the presence of a holy God. The second fear, and this is more specifically to what Peter is going for here, because remember, Peter is writing to Christians, okay? So that first fear is more associated with non-believers, right? The book of Revelation, if you read that very, very carefully, there are parts where, I believe, through the advent of TV and internet and stuff like that, the entire world will know when Jesus comes back. Because you're like, oh, the Jesus meteor. Oh my goodness, it's real. He's coming. He's real. He looks pretty pissed. And the Bible says people are going to be trying to commit suicide. Why? Because of sheer terror that Isaiah had. Oh my goodness, this thing is real. Okay, what am I going to do? Right? And there's actually passages in the Bible where people will literally see God coming and it says, they will say to the mountains, fall on me. Okay, like they were literally begging the mountains to crush me. Okay, that terror. Okay, that's not associated with Christians. Christians is a different kind of terror. Why? Because for us, that fear of God's judgment, that terrifying judgment of God, is taken away at the cross. Okay, that's why the cross has to be that nasty, that violent, and that graphic. What we see poured out on Jesus on Good Friday, is God's absolute anger at sin, especially the sin in his people. So don't think, oh, because I'm a Christian, God doesn't really care about my sin that much. No, he really, really cares about sin because it's an offense to him, right? And he's obviously a lot stronger and bigger than sin. So what does he do? He obliterates it, right? And so he knows that without Christ, he has to destroy us in the process. So what does he do? He destroys his own son. Right? And so for us who trust in Jesus, then, that fear of destruction at the presence of God is taken away. Okay, so what is this fear that Peter's talking about here? This fear that Peter's talking about here is more of a healthy respect. Respect. It's a little bit like, you respect those in authority. You respect, for example, our parents, right? We respect our bosses, hopefully, right? Whether they're good or bad. We respect our teachers, our professors, right? And we even respect the president, whether you like him or not, whether you agree with him or not. You still have to respect him, right? Just like our senior pastor, you have to respect him. right? These are all people that God has put in our lives, and we respect them. And the Bible uses that term. You fear the king. You fear the governor. You fear them. Why? Out of respect. That's what it means. That's another meaning of the word fear in the Bible, right? And that's the point that Peter's driving home, and that's the point that I want to kind of focus on more than the other one. And so it's this idea that we do not, as a people of God in the 21st century, fear God. We really don't. We like God as loving. We like God as forgiving. We like God being merciful, but we don't like God demanding that we fear him. Because it seems like he's a little mean when he does that. You know? But the problem is, again, we're stuck with that little, that picture of Jesus that we have in our minds, that why would Jesus do that? He seems so happy. He seems so nice. Why would he demand that we fear him? He doesn't look scary. Right? And I think to a certain extent, even the disciples had that idea, right? And I'm specifically talking about the disciple named John, right? The guy who wrote the Gospel of John and also the book of Revelations. If you read the first chapter of Revelations, it's pretty funny because I think it's on a Sunday, so he's worshiped God and he's kind of like hanging out, and then Jesus comes. But it's not like the Jesus that he remembers. And he literally passes out. Can you imagine? It's like, the Apostle John. Like, wow, dude. Major Christian celebrity. Right? Can I get your autograph? Can you sign my Bible? Right? In the heaven, if I have a Bible, then I'm going to get him to sign it. Right? If not, he's going to sign my shirt or something. Right? He's John, for crying out loud. He's rewrote 2 books of the Bible. Right? John. He's hanging out, and then Jesus comes, and he passes out. Why? Because it's like, who are you? And it's like, I'm Jesus. And he's like, I don't remember you like this, right? Because John remembers Jesus, the guy who joked with them, right? I mean, yes, he died and did miracles and stuff, but, you know, Jesus is the guy he hang out with like 3 years every day, you know? And you know him. And John was like, this is not you, right? I think John, what his thing was, he understood Jesus as in a certain way, like we do, but he completely forgot that Jesus is also God. Demanding respect. When God shows up in the Bible, people fall on their knees. Some out of fear, but his people always fall on their knees out of respect, out of just sheer awesomeness. Can you imagine? Like, we see, on earth, we don't have anything comparable. We can be like, oh, that's a really nice car, or that's a really awesome basketball player, dunk contest or whatever. That's awesome dunk. Great. But it doesn't, like, knock us down. God, in all the history of humanity, whenever he shows up, people get down on their knees out of sheer respect, right? Even the great Moses, even now, if you talk to Orthodox Jews, they all praise Moses. We are students of Moses. We are disciples of Moses, right? When Jesus comes, what does he find? We are students of Moses, blah, blah, blah. Moses this, Moses that, right? They all have like fans of Moses, hats and shirts and everything, right? Even Moses, God shows up. Exodus 33 and 34, God shows up, and what does he do? He falls down on his knees. And he worships God out of respect, not out of destruction, not out of fear of destruction, but out of respect, right? When the Israelites, when Solomon, King Solomon, the son of David, finally constructs the temple, the first one is supposed to be the most beautiful and the most amazing temple, right, in the history. They build it, right? They build it. And then they're like getting ready, right? And they had the first service, right? This is a very important lesson. The building is not a church until God fills it, right? So the people of God gather together. It's in a nice and awesome building. And then they worship God. And then God shows up. Boom, right? And it's intense. And people are like, duh, what do we do? It's God. Ah! And then they all fall down. right? So that's the lesson that our Old Testament professor always used to say. If God shows up in your life, guess what? You got to first, don't argue with him. Don't ask him questions. Just fall down. Right? Just fall down. Right? This is what it means. We like to sing, you know, worshiping God for who he is. If we're really going to worship God for who he is, first of all, we got to do it with our knees on the ground and our faces down. Moses did it. The disciples did it. Right? Even the guards. You ever catch this one little part in when Jesus gets arrested, right? Passion Week. Jesus, right? The temple guards come to arrest him, right? And then Judas does his thing, and then they're like, "Who is Jesus?" He's like, "I'm here." Right? This is one of the gospels where Jesus, right? Jesus says, "In my mind," right? Again, this is the Sam Kang Bible movie. Jesus, they're like, "Where are you to arrest Jesus?" And then Judas is like, And the guards are like, "Oh, snap, all right, here we go. Are you Jesus?" Jesus is like, "Boom, here I am." And they all fall down. All right? Literally, that's what it says. They fall down. All right? In my mind, it's because he's like awesome. But he just did a little bit of boosh. All right? Just a little bit, not too much. All right? But even that, just a little bit of Jesus showing off who he is, the guards get down on their knees. Oh, God. All right? And Mel Gibson kind of captured that. He does it a little bit. You got to look for it. But next time we come across that movie again, just look for it. The part where they're trying to arrest him, right? There's this part where he heals the guy with the ear, right? And then he's alone. And you see the guards are like afraid of him, you know? And then they kind of pounce on him, okay? Because he's Jesus, right? And so we worship God. Yes, he's close to us. Yes, he loves us. But we have to, at the same time, remember constantly that we're worshiping God. We're not worshiping a buddy. We are not worshiping primarily a healer. We're worshiping God. And as members of a Korean-American, Asian-American church, we forget that constantly. Because we don't like it. We don't like it when God asserts himself as God. We like him as buddy, we like him as healer, we like him even as forgiver, but we don't like him as God. Because guess what? When we worship God as God, then who gets to be number one? God. You understand that? When we worship God as God, that means you have to walk away from that reminding yourself, oh man, it's all about him, constantly. Right? God deserves everything. And so that's what it means to love God for who he is. Especially as his people have a respect, have a healthy respect for him. Psalm 111:10 says, it's a very famous verse and everyone should remember it. Right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Right? The Bible also says, in Jesus we have the full wisdom of God shown to us, revealed to us. Wrap that around your brain, right? You go to town on that for QT for a week, okay? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? So that's, we need to, as the people of God, love God for who he is. Yes, he's my healer. Yes, he's my redeemer. But he is primarily God, right? He is the holy God. He is the holy one of Israel. He's the holy king of the universe, okay? Second lesson we see, living in active obedience. Okay, so now that we've established God for who he is, now we need to understand that when we worship him, when we say we are following in Jesus, it also means that we need to do something about it. It's one thing to have a healthy mental respect for God. That's still not faith. Because that's incomplete. It's a mental assent. It's a thought. It's an idea. What we need to do is we need to do something about it. Living in active obedience. Look at what Peter says, right? If you address, right? These are all mental things, right? Then what? Conduct yourself. Conduct. Action verb. Action words. Right? I feel like an English teacher up here. Action words. But this also includes giving testimony. Right? I mean, just because Kristen comes up here and says, you know what, I love Jesus. And just because she went up at Father's heart in front of all those people and said, I love Jesus, right? That doesn't count, Justin, sorry. Peter says you got to conduct yourself. Act on it. Act on it. So we have healthy respect for God as a creator, as our judge, and our savior. Great. Act like it. Live like it. What does that mean? It means this. When we fear God, the fear of God frees us from our fear of everything else. What kind of fears? Well, great. Good thing you asked. We got all kinds of fears in our lives. We got fear of failure for ourselves. We got fear of what? Our friends and what they think of us. We got fear, especially in the Asian culture, what? We got fear of our parents. We're afraid that we're going to lose their approval. We're going to lose their love if we don't do certain things or if we do certain things. And so we are besieged with fear of this, fear of that, fear of this, fear of that. But God says, he doesn't say, don't forget about it. God says, those things are there, yes, but number one, you need to fear me. Because why? Because when you fear God, then you no longer fear other people. For example, right? When I understood the gospel, and I trust in Jesus, and understood this concept that fearing God, and my dad had to like literally spell it out for me, right? Because I was young and I was stupid, right? Now I'm just stupid, right? That when you fear God, right? My parents would drive it home. They would always say, and this especially after I make mistakes, my parents would say, you fear God. What else are you going to fear? Right? That's what Peter is saying. Peter is like, if you fear God, you have a healthy respect for God and who he is, and you know him for who he is, then what other stuff can you be afraid of? What other disapproval and failure can you be afraid of? Why? Because when we respect God, we understand who he is, we know that in Christ, right, he never leaves us. He never discards us. So guess what? What that means is, even if our parents disapprove, even if our friends disapprove, and maybe even we fail ourselves and realize our crazy fears of what? Not getting into the school that we want to go to, not getting the job that we want, not making the money that we want, not making the friends that we want to have. It's okay. Because of fear of God. See, the fear of God is so dangerous. Right? Because when you realize and understand the fear of God, then you start changing. Your mind starts getting crazy. Because you don't care about anything anymore. Because everything else is stupid. So when we fear God, guess what? We don't even fear death anymore, right? I tell you guys a story about Heather Mercer, right? The girl down the street in McLean, Virginia, right? She came back. She got kidnapped by the Taliban. And they asked her, hey, they asked her on her way to the airport to get on a plane to go to Iraq. Hey, why are you doing that? She says, I fear God. And when I fear God, death isn't so bad anymore. Right? And so when we fear God, right, our whole lives start changing because we start realizing, I fear God. I have a respect for who God is as my creator, as my king, and as my savior. And everything in my life starts revolving around that. And you go, okay, that's great for Heather Mercer. That's great for all these people. What does that look like in my life? I'll give you one example. It just recently happened, and it's fantastic. And I'm so glad to be able to share this with you. Recently, a student texted me out of nowhere in the middle of the night and says, hey, I'm going to give it away. When are we going to go to Philly? And I said, why? And they text some of the dates. And they're like, this is the response. Because I want to tell my parents, these are the dates I'm going on this team to serve God in this city. and I don't want, don't make any plans on that day because I'm not going to be there. Why? You fear God. When you fear God, nothing else matters. When you fear God, even your parents saying, oh, we're going to go to vacation. Oh, it's so sad. Doesn't matter anymore. You see that? This is why it's dangerous. This is why some circles don't call you crazy. It's okay. It's okay to be crazy. Right? When I was in high school, people started calling me crazy. College, they were like, you're psychotic. You going to be a pastor? Are you sure about that? Yeah, well, kind of. Right? Here I am. When we start fearing God, right, we're not afraid of talking to gay people. When we start fearing God, we're not afraid to just talk to random people on the street. We're not afraid to talk to the checkout person at H Mart. We're not afraid to wear a retreat shirt to work. And when people ask, hey, what's that? Why? You fear God. You don't fear their... Yeah, they might reject you and they might make fun of you, but it's okay. You know why? Because I fear God. And God doesn't reject me. God loves me as I am. And second, this is a little bit of a tangent, but I want to kind of look at it a little bit. If you have your Bibles open, look at the word stay, right? Conduct yourself in fear during the time of your stay on earth. Okay, and that's verse 17, right? That's important, that's key, because that word is awesome, right? That word actually means, in the original Greek, let me get that. That word means a temporary stay or traveling through a foreign country. That's what that word means. Right? And what Peter's saying is, this world's not your home. This is not. You can feel comfortable here, but this is ultimately not your home. Your home is in heaven. Your home is in God. Then, therefore, live your life in the fear of God, not in the fear of man. Live your life in the fear of God, not in the fear of your rejection, of your failures, of your shortcomings. Okay? Short detour, we're back on track. Okay, the last lesson, knowing our price. Okay? And so the final question has got to be this. Okay, so that's great. We've got to fear God for who he is, right? And I got to live my life in that fear. It's not a momentary thing, but it's an everyday life thing. That's cool. How is that possible? Because if I was very honest with you, I don't fear God. Not nearly as much as I need to. And I don't fear God just sheer the amount of times that I need to. Because I can't constantly forget about it. I'm okay with God as being my friend. I'm okay with God as being my savior. I'm definitely okay with God being my provider. But I'm not okay with God being God. Because it's dangerous. It's scary. And so I don't want to do that. So how is that possible? Notice this. Notice what Peter says. Peter says, knowing, right? Knowing, conduct yourselves in fear of the Lord, knowing that you are not redeemed or bought with perishable things, but you are bought with the blood of Christ. It means this, right? And this is the important part for this. We got to know our price. What I mean by that is, in ourselves, we have no value. Because we are dead. You know what I know about dead people? They're very important to their family members and their friends, but other than that, not really much. I mean, the worms will like you, the bugs will like you, but that's about it. You know, they put you in the ground, or you know, do the ashes thing, and they forget. That's it. You come and you die. You come, you live, and you die. Not very valuable, sorry to say. Until you realize what someone pays for you, right? I watch these ridiculous shows on like A&E and like History Channel and stuff like that. There's a show that I recently discovered called, I forget what it's called. Basically, they just get people to bring their old stuff and then they appraise it and then they have the option of selling it to a dealer or taking it to auction. Okay? And basically the whole point of that entire show is the person, when the person brings it in first, they have no idea what it is. For all they know, it's completely useless. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's pretty funny because they're like, I think this is worth like really a lot of money. And they're like, it's not worth anything, you know? But the whole premise of that entire show is that thing, whether it be junk or terrible, in terrible shape or not, is worth whatever that whatever someone is willing to pay for it. Right? I mean, that's basically eBay, right? eBay, whatever you sell on eBay, whatever people sell on eBay, totally useless until like, for example, Joseph is selling something, it's completely useless until Sylvia clicks on the price, whatever, you know, she thinks, okay, I think this is worth this. Right? So Joseph is selling a piece of shirt. It's worthless until Sylvia says, you know what, I'm going to pay $15 for it. Then it's worth $15. Okay? Basic concept, right? In the same way, we, completely worthless. Sorry to say. Outside of our friends and family, we're completely useless and worthless. Until you realize what God was willing to pay for you. In the great eBay of the universe, when no one else would even look at what we got, God said, nah, you're worth it. Kirsten, you're worth it. In fact, I'm gonna pay with my son's life. And what Peter's trying to drive here is our value and our ability lies in what God has paid for us. The most valuable currency in all of the universe. That's what he's trying to say. The blood of Christ is the most valuable currency, the most powerful currency in the universe. And God paid that to buy us from death and sin. Right? And as Augustine said, and I say it many, many times, by loving, this is Augustine's prayer, by loving the unlovable, you made me lovable. Right? What Augustine was saying was, I was completely worthless until God loved me. Right? And so, bring this home, right? Peter is saying, respect God, understand who He is. Why? Because you know, right? In your heart, know in your mind, and know in your heart. This is why, again, the Christian life is not just an emotion thing, not just an action thing, but it's also a mental thing, right? This is why the Bible says, love God with your mind, your body, and your heart, right? Why? It's an emotion thing. Your whole physical, active, obedience thing, and also a mental thing. Right? So when we respect God for who He is, know it, understand it, love it, remind yourself, right? And then actively obey it. Live your life. Live your life in that truth. And you understand, well, when I respect God, nothing else really matters. Yes, it sucks that when I fail, my parents are so saddened and disapprove of this or that. Yes, it stinks when I can't go into the school that I want to go to, but you know what? It's okay. Because at the end of the day, I fear God and I know who He is, right? And this is possible because God has bought us from sin and death by the price of His own Son. Right? He makes that possible. So I don't want to leave and saying, oh man, this is the bar that God sets, and I can't get there. No, we can. We can. We can. See, this is God. If God ever cheated, this is the part where God cheats. Because He buys us, He cleans us up, and then He gives us the power and the ability and the desire to do this. And so when we love God, and we constantly get to know Him more, right? I forgot who said it. It might have been just myself or just a crazy idea I had, right? But the more you get to know God, the more you love Him, the more you realize how awesome He is, the more you fall down on your knees. When I first came to know God, man, I love singing praise songs. And then I met people, older people, who would raise their hands, would cry. We don't see this much anymore, maybe, at least in the young people circles. And I would even see people get down on their knees. And I would wonder why. I was like, man, Jesus loves you that much. What would drive you to get down on your knees? As I got older and as I got to know God more, I understand. Right? worshiping God for who He is. Right? Yes, He is our healer. Yes, He's our redeemer. But He is, at the end of the day, God, and we must worship Him as such. Let's pray.